You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Cheese State University. Cheese State University was created for dedicated cheese professionals seeking to deepen their knowledge, sharpen their skills, and build connections. Join them in the Ivy League of cheese education at cheesestateuniversity.com.
Well, hello. Welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and it is Friday, May 12th, 2023. And this is our 356th episode of this series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talent in the hospitality industry. Today, I have a very special episode, which I recorded on location on a recent trip to Santiago, Chile. And it's with an outstanding chef who is featured in my new book, Chefwise. And I will share more details in a moment. First, as I do in every show, I will start with my PR tip. Then later, we will have my chef interview with a speed round and a final question. And I will also have a solo dining experience. As the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip the show off with my PR tip of the week. So today's tip is to never stop learning. There is endless wisdom to receive as we go through life, as we are in a continuous cycle of experiencing new things, shaping our perspectives and the way we see the world. Yes, knowledge has no boundaries, or as my guest today puts it, knowledge cannot have a rooftop. And when we learn new things, it enables us to tackle new challenges, discover new passions, innovate, and grow. So let's always be curious and learn something new every day, as knowledge is power. That's my tip today. Okay, I'm very excited to share this interview with you, which I did on a quick solo trip about a month ago to my guest's hometown of Santiago, Chile. And my guest is Rodolfo Guzman. He is a Chilean chef who opened Burago in Santiago in 2006, famed for its sustainable approach, deeply rooted in southern Chile's ingredients and indigenous culture. Burago earned the inaugural Latin America's 50 Best Sustainable Restaurant Award in 2018 from the world's 50 Best Restaurants, and the Flor de Cana Sustainable Restaurant Award in 2021. Burago, or it's really Barago, is currently ranked number 10 on Latin America's 50 Best Restaurants and number 43 on the world's 50 Best. So we recorded this interview the day after I had my solo dinner at Barago. And we did it at the W Santiago in Santiago's Las Condes district, which is actually the home to a restaurant from another Chefwise chef, who is Mitsuharu Misha Tsumura. And I've been to his restaurant, Maido, in Lima, Peru, which I absolutely loved. And Mitsuharu has a restaurant at the W Santiago called Kare by Mitsuharu. And I did go there on this trip, but anyways, we were at the W Santiago, and that's where Rodolfo and I sat down and had a conversation. So here it is. It's a bit long. I kept it all in because I wanted to share it all with you. So I hope you enjoy my interview with Rodolfo Guzman of Burago. Here it is. Well, hello. I'm here with Rodolfo Guzman of Burago in Santiago, Chile, on location, not at your restaurant right now, but I was there last night, and I'm so thrilled to be chatting with you. So hi, Rodolfo.
Hello. Thank you for the talk, and I'm very excited to sharing or whatever we do, Burago, with you. So thank you.
No, thank you. It's funny because on my show leading up to this, and I said I was going to be talking to you, I left it as a surprise that I would actually be in person. So here we are. Before we get into my fabulous dinner last night, which was really so special, take us back a bit to the beginnings, or how did you get into the culinary world, and when did you get that interest or that desire to become a chef?
Well, I never expected to become a professional cook in a way. But now I'm thinking it was so obvious because, you know, food was so important, so relevant in my family. So it was kind of a natural thing for me. I was kind of lost in my life. So a good friend of mine told me, hey, why don't you try, you know, this short thing is not expensive, so you can go to the ordinary culinary school in Santiago, so you can see what if you feel like, but I can't see you. So I did it, and it worked. So I felt really, really comfortable doing, you know, learning about cooking. In my family, you know, I'm coming from a... Back then, Chile was very different when I was a kid. I grew up in Santiago in the capital, but I was spending all my summers in the countryside, which is, I don't know, an hour away from a city with my grandmother. So food was very important, again, in my family, since it was... I'm coming from a middle-class family, so... There was not that much at that time, I remember. And so my mother was doing a big effort every weekend to cook, you know?
Yeah.
To real cook. And she has a particular skills on desserts. So she was incredible. Just I was watching and tasting. My father was that kind of fanatic person behind the scenes, you know? And so I grew up in that environment. And my grandmother is also, she's a great, great cook. Also, all women in my family. So I had those memories in my mind. And I feel, you know, plus all of that, those efforts I saw my parents with, you know, around the table during the weekends. So I felt very comfortable, you know, getting involved in the culinary world in a way, yeah. And so I started doing stages as any other kid, and I got so disappointed in Santiago, so disappointed, because I had that chef in my mind, you know, my first book, it was Thomas Keller's, you know, so I opened it. I could dream with that book, you know, I could really seriously dream with that. Because I saw the producers plus some other books, you know, I had. And I had, you know, those two incredible producers. You could see them full of passion behind cutting ingredients out of the crown with so much passion. And chefs, such as Thomas Keller, cooking with so much passion. It was like a movie in a way for me, in my mind. And I went to Santiago's restaurants doing stages, start working in this in different... restaurants, and I felt so disappointed at that time because the chef, he was very famous, most of the important chefs at that time, but the team, it was absolutely non-connected to the mind of the chef. I mean, everyone could, you know, do anything in life, but so, for some other reason, they ended up doing, you know, working in a kitchen. And so I was very disappointed. And so I said, like, I cannot accept this reality. I have to find this reality. So I tried to send faxes at that time, you know, to different... Well, I was trying to do an intern, Thomas Keller, but I couldn't, you know, because it was impossible at that time, I can imagine.
And around how old are you at this time?
I was around 21, 22. And then I somebody told me, hey, have you ever heard what is happening in Spain? I said, no. Come on. There's a revolution in the Spanish cuisine.
Say a movement.
There's a whole movement there. And I'm like, no. Come on, it's the new France. And I'm like, really? Yes, really. So I tried to find out, you know. And social media wasn't there, you know. It was right. Totally different.
Yeah, I was...
Totally different story back then.
I remember faxing.
Yeah. You remember that? So anyways, I made a call and I was trying to find a stagiaire in Madrid. So they said, yes, no problem, come.
What restaurant?
It's called Balzac. Super famous chef at that time. It's now a good, very good friend of mine. Doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately.
Okay.
It was probably the most important restaurant in Madrid at that time. It was called Balzac. Yeah.
Nice.
So I went there. And it was like a dream. It's like a dream. Like all those things I saw in a book, all those pictures, I was part of it. So I felt so complete.
Your book reference just reminds me back before I moved to New York and I lived in Chicago and I had my period of my life where I was thinking I wanted to be a chef and the book I had was Charlie Trotter. And I remember flipping through his book and looking at the pictures and just being like, wow, how do you even do this? And then I ended up becoming a server at his restaurant. But when you reference the book, I'm like, yeah, that caliber is very high and very special.
Yes, of course. You know, a book at that time, I don't know, in my mind, it made me dream, you know, mm-hmm. like a movie,
yeah.
Like no difference. Because all of these thoughts, all of these recipes I saw in the reading itself, you know, like so much passion in those words. And so I went to Spain, I found my way, I ended up working there, and then I moved to another second restaurant of Andres. He was phenomenal at that time. It was a bistro, it was so avant-garde for that time. It was a tasting menu, 40 covers, lunch and dinner, 5 days a week, and we were working our asses off. It was super fun. That's where I learned how to cook. I remember lost like 4 kilos because I was in a meat section. So four of us running plus chef de cuisine and running the restaurant fully booked every night, every lunch, 38 euros. It was very cheap. So everyone wanted to come to see Andres, the B side of Andres. And it was very cool. And then I remember I was trying to go to a bully. Because everyone wanted to go to El Bulli at that time.
Of course.
And I was
Everyone wanted to dine there, and so, then some people wanted to cook. Well, however you can get in.
So, anyways, I was trying to send faxes, trying to call, same story. I told Ferran, a couple of years ago, maybe more than a couple of years ago. And he's like, oh, sorry. I said, like, no, you don't have to feel sorry. But at that time, I was dreaming to get to El Bulli. So I couldn't do it. Never happened. But then I ended up in this restaurant in the middle of nowhere. It was called Mugaritz. Nobody knew, not much people knew Mugaritz at that time. And so I ended up there doing an intern. And there I felt just great. That was the place that I wanted to be at. You know, like a truly... A restaurant that was like fully committed, not 90%, but 150% committed, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah. I mentioned to you, I did dine there several years ago, and it was so special. Yeah. And actually now thinking of the menu you have and what you're doing, I could see how that would influence you because fully committed.
Well, anyways, I came back afterwards. I had the chance to keep going on my career in Europe, but I decided I had a feeling in my guts that I wasn't, you know, I'd never been a good student in school, not even in, now, you know, never been such a brilliant on anything, but I always felt my guts, always behind my guts, you know? So I'm very about the feelings. And at that time, I had the feeling that I had to come back to Chile because I was going to have the opportunity to serve my food. So I decided to come back. So that was end of 2004. And I was hired as a CDP, then as a sous chef. I was running a big restaurant. That's how I learned how to lead a kitchen, you know? It was a big restaurant, 200 covers or something like that. So I learned my way there. And then a guy offered me to open a restaurant for me as a chef of cuisine. And so I, after that, the partners, they had troubles in between them, I remember. And so I had to leave. I said, like, no problem, guys. Just keep going. After a year, I had to leave. And I had a little money in my pocket. And I saw that bar. It was a small house. I had Borrego in my mind for a long time. And I knew Chile, it was blessed. Because it's probably the biggest endemic country in the world. Ingredients that you won't get to see anywhere else. I was tasting some of those ingredients. I grew up a little bit of that, you know, I had that little feeling in my mind about in the countryside, you know. I grew up with the warm milk, right, the fresh milk straight out of the cow, you know. So I had those memories. And I felt that I had to do something so different to whatever I saw in Europe. So at that time, everything was about technique. And I had that little tiny restaurant, and I had money to open the restaurant for 3 months. I remember. So I said, yes, I'm going to do it. I had everything in mind. I had the menu. I had how I'm going to cook. I'm going to set the kitchen. So we started working on that little tiny house. And I called Hernan. So I met him in Europe. He's Chilean. So I said, Hernan, you're going to be a chef of cuisine, and I'm going to be the guy who is worried about how to find my way to run this thing. Okay? And so we started. And I said, Borrego was going to be about the momentum of the Chilean terroir. So whatever we do, we have to look back in time to move forward. I know it's going to take us long because it's we know nothing. This is a bad thing. And I knew that, you know, finding knowledge is expensive and, well, that time not that much probably, but it takes time.
Yeah, but you grew up here, so you knew, when you say you knew nothing, like I could say maybe I knew nothing, but you had a little bit of a base.
Yeah. I had the feeling, you know, I met lots of natives around and you know, I had the chance to taste ingredients in Patagonia, in Chile. My grandfather's from Chile, so still having that connection, you know, even when I born in Santiago, but I had that special connection with the place for some reason. So I know how it tastes. And it's for me, in my mind, you know, we have at least 80% of us, we have the Araucano blood, you know? So we're truly an example of mestizos. We all are mestizos. And they've been around for the last 12,000 years in the Chilean lands. But since the Spanish came, we were pretending to be Europeans. Till the 90s, we're pretending to be Americans. So I said, come on, we have to find our roots. It's normal. It's such a rich thing. I've seen things.
Yeah.
So I quickly start traveling a little bit around the country, asking favors to natives, to farmers, to producers. Can you do this for us? Can you send it to the restaurant? He said, like, I still remember face of Don Pasquale at that time. Can you grab those little tiny wild apples for us and send it to the restaurant? He was like, are you sure? This is what we eat at home. Yes, that's what we need. So we was trying to find this logistic, but we were in trouble. Because a good restaurant in Chile was more based on this. The sign, the place where you go to see people, and food was not relevant. For food, you were trying to find some Peruvian restaurants or Japanese restaurants, Chinese, Italian, French, whatever, but Chilean, no. Chilean was too ordinary. Native ingredients didn't even have the price for on top of the table, you know? So it's something that, in a way, we have to develop. And so Borago, we were in trouble because Borago was going to be about that. There's not going to be a piece of foie gras on the plate. It's not going to be technique. We were trying to find possibilities on the ingredients, which is different.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. Your vision, your passion. I have a question for you from my last guest. And so I think now is a good time to ask it. This is episode 354. I had on Chip Wade. He's the chief executive officer of Union Square Hospitality Group, which was founded by Danny Meyer in New York City. So he said he did a little research, and his question revolves around the explorations and journey that you went on in 2004, 2005, when you embarked on a historical study of food, collaborating with research groups, psychologists, and nutritionists to better understand the closer connection between food, health, and culture. So his question is, what did you learn during this period, and how has it changed your point of view or thinking over the past 20 years, and how has your thinking shaped your culinary, food, and menu strategy for your restaurant?
Well, at the beginning, because I truly felt I knew nothing, so I wanted to learn. I felt like I really needed to learn. So I started, more than anything, I was trying to talk to anthropologists, to producers, to foragers, to natives, mainly natives, and to everyone that knew something that could help us. Everyone will be a big help. And so suddenly we started to learn. And that's what I had in my mind. But I was in trouble because the restaurant was going to be something. Remember that time? There was no social networks.
Yeah.
So you needed a big guy, you know, to write something cool. At least something cool.
A really good PR.
Exactly. Or a good PR. But it wasn't our case.
Yeah.
So, because Borrego was very small restaurant, really. So press, you know, the gastronomic press at that time came, and they couldn't understand where these ingredients were coming from. What are you talking about? What are these little tiny berries you're trying to cook with? It doesn't make sense. Chilean food are empanadas. Chilean food are corn pie. I said, like, that's too new. We got it in our blood. So it doesn't make sense that we cannot recognize these ingredients that have been in the land for thousands of years and being part of our history. We're mestizos. We're not, you know, unidirectional. We're multidirectional in a way. So I was trying to connecting dots, and suddenly we started to learn. And it was magical because I said to Hernan, did you taste this? He's like, yes, I fucking tasted. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? So we start making notes. Because, you know, these ingredients are about very short windows of time during the year. So no choice. We didn't want to forget the next year so we could move forward, you know, and build things on top of that, those little notes, how it grows, from which state to which state, who are eating them, Mapuches, Cahuescas, I don't know how to cook it, has it emulsified or not? And then we realize, hey, how about if we go into I don't know, to biologists, to botanists, can they help us to recognize? And some of these people help us to recognize. And so suddenly we start gaining knowledge, but we had trouble. The restroom was empty. I'm going to try to be quick with this because it's a long story. It's funny. Now I can tell it's funny.
I mean, my show is typically only 45 minutes, but you can just keep going because I love your story.
Yeah. So anyways, we had the restaurant empty for the first 3 months. And then this suddenly this air flight company, Chilean airline, shows up and said, hey, look, listen, your restaurant has been, I'm talking about back in 2007. After 3 months of running the restaurant, said the restaurant has been picked as nominated for the best restaurant in Latin America. I said, like, yeah. Always ready to close. Done. So, no, this is serious. Your restaurant's going to be in that magazine in every flight from, let's say, Miami to Santiago, all Latin American destinations to Santiago. And... well, suddenly we had a fully booked restaurant.
What year is this?
That was 2007. So
it's amazing. I don't know.
We were so not conscious about what was going on in the Northern Hemisphere because it was not non-connected period as it is now, you know? So nowadays it's a totally different story. But anyways, something happened back in 2008. Giant crisis.
Yeah.
Hit the country. So I had an empty restaurant from one day to the next again. And I said, like, what we do? It's time to close the restaurant again. So I said, like, you know what? We have to fight for it. So we start doing catering, but very cheap catering, not that top level. So suddenly because it was a small animal, we could deal with the cost and everything. So suddenly we were very healthy economic-wise, but with an empty restaurant because we were doing a lot of catering. And suddenly I'm looking at myself in the mirror and I said, like, come on, this is not what I wanted to do. This is not myself. What am I doing here? Yeah. What am I doing this? Because I really felt I was born to cook, you know, like in a restaurant where you can give your passion, your energies and to help a team to grow. So... and somebody told me, hey, do you know there is this, you know, it was back in 2000, at the beginning of 2009, this famous restaurant, have you heard about this famous restaurant in a bankruptcy? It's been in bankruptcy for the last 2 years, they're selling it. So I said, like, okay, this is not for me. I know the restaurant you're talking about. I don't know, I need probably two lives to pay for it. So it was not my case. So anyways, I went there and... this is very funny. So I went there. I said, like, no, I was so frustrated. I was mad at the guy who was trying to show me the restaurant. I said, like, why you bring me here? I could not buy this thing. Not even to rent this thing. Of course, it's my dream. It's a beautiful house. We're only four people in the kitchen. We used to be four people in the kitchen back then. And it would be like a dream. But anyways, I was trying to find partners. Impossible. Everyone said, like, no, 200 covers, or go to play to Asia, to North America, to Europe, whatever. But here in Chile, no, man, 200 covers, 180 covers, otherwise you're joking around. And I said, okay. I went to the bank trying to get a loan, something like a credit. And then the woman said, like, no, Rolf, you don't have property. It's impossible. But you know what? There's a program of the government. It's called Fogape. Go to ask. She knew it was impossible. I had a little tiny car. That was all I had. And it was truly impossible. So I went there, talked to the man, showed my project. He's like, 5 minutes. Look at the papers. Say, like, you know what? I like your project. I give you the support. You get the money. I'm like, what? Is this guy crazy? You don't... but are you sure? You barely seeing my project. It's like, no, you get the support. No problem. I'm going to call the bank. No worries. You're good. So I went to the bank. The woman said, like, holy, this has been approved. I cannot believe it. Okay. You know, because they work together super closely with this Fog Apple program, remember? And so they give me the money. They put the money in my account. So I call my wife, said, like, Lord, listen, I have the money in my account. What are we doing? We're moving. She said, we're moving, we're expecting, you have the money. And so, anyways, the manager of that area of the bank was calling next day to say, hey, okay, send me the application and everything. No, this guy is no longer working here. He's been doing a lot of shit, so we fired him. So he was a crate by mistake, so we moved to this new restaurant. We tried to invite the press that we didn't. I mean, we got a lot of, I don't have another word for this. We got a lot of shit at the beginning.
You can, my show, yeah, you can say that.
Yeah. We got a lot of shit from the gastronomic press at that moment. And a lot of funny things in the newspapers about what we were doing. We were trying to do this.
Like not great reviews? Or just
these guys are cooking with grass. Grass is for cows. And stuff like that, you know, funny stuff.
Yeah.
They don't even know how to cook. This is not right there. This is not the real Chilean cuisine. Cuisine is going to us. So, of course, we never had their attention. But anyways, we tried to invite the press. We did that effort. Motherfuckers never published a thing. And so nobody knew. We moved into this new house. But I couldn't resist. You know, I don't know how we ended up in a very bad situation, economical situation with the bank. I was trying to sell the restaurant. I had a signed contract back in 2012 to sell the restaurant. It was ready. The guy regretted at the end. I was so, so frustrated. It was the bad time in my life. It was very dark, very, very dark. And then Andrea Petrini sent me a message, said like, I'm going to Borago. Do you know, by the way, I'm Andrea Petrini. I said, of course, everyone knows you. Everyone knows who you are. In this industry, he's probably the most important guy in the food industry, you know? I said, food critic. And he's in the dining room, tastes. He's like, man, this is incredible. This is incredible. Can I see your ingredients? Yes, of course. We'll take you with us to the beach so you can... But I had in my mind trying to sell the restaurant. I said, Rodolfo, this is very different to what I've seen in Europe. And
you're like, I know.
No, I wasn't not even conscious because I was... It was a very, like, bipolar situation because I was sort of trying to develop into that endless process never stopped since the very beginning. Learning, making notes, everything on the computer. So in between said, this is very special, you know? Like what you're doing, your work, even behind the kitchen. So we have this ugly kitchen, even separate from the service. And so and then he left. Suddenly something happened. A lot of press stopped coming. And somebody, I can't remember who, said, Rolf, you know the World 50 Best? And I said, yes, I know World 50 Best. Of course, every cook in the world will know it. And so he's like, well, there's going to be a Latin American 50 Best version. I said, really? Yes, really. It's going to be held in Peru. In a hit, you're going to be in the very top. So like, yeah. I'm trying to sell the restaurant, by the way. You want to buy it?
there's been a repetition or a theme here. But so the list comes out and you are on it.
I'm on it. The restaurant was, of course, empty. Absolutely empty. I don't know. The month before, the next day, it was... absolutely impossible to get a single chair within a month.
Because
it was fully booked. Yeah. We didn't change a single thing, not even our thoughts, not even our dish, not even nothing. But it was fully booked. I remember lots of Peruvian food critics started coming in. And they were like, what? In Chile? This is impossible. Are you sure you're doing this? Yes, of course we've been doing this. It's like, I remember they were saying, this is really good runoff wall. This is so different to whatever we've seen. And so I was like, wow, this is incredible. So anyways, when the restaurant exploded, I felt, you know what, guys, we're ready. I look at the information we had. We had a dictionary of Chile. So we did two things in 6 years or 5 years. We started classifying and categorizing the country with eyes of food, not with eyes of geographies I don't know, whatever, but with eyes of cooks. So we divide every region by ingredients. And so we learn a lot. And we discover things that we never dream of. And so our food started to taste very different, very deep in a way. And since that year, I remember, I was coming, by the way, that month I remember showing up to the office of Diego, who was running the reservation. And this one time, he's grabbing me from my neck, said like, Rodolfo, listen, I don't want to see you here anymore. You have to leave, do whatever you know the best, but do not show up in this office anymore, because it's going to be so annoying. I don't want to see you. So that's what he did. From that day and beyond, I understood in my mind that I had to spend every day cooking and to keep this thing alive. And I remember calling Don Pascual, remember those little tiny one apples? Well, listen, I need 500 kilos of that. 300 kilos of this week, can you do it? So he says like, oh yes, I try, no worries. So can you find some more people to do this and that? By the way, all the lambs are ours. So we start building a strong community, not only based on that culture, but also based on economy. And that moved slowly into something that we never dream of. And since that day, I remember seeing my face in every single newspaper in Chile. So I said, like, what?
There that is kind of crazy, I mean, to get famous all of a sudden.
By a list from England. Can you believe it?
I can believe it, because having dined now at your restaurant last night and meeting you, like, yes, I can believe it. You deserve it. But it's got to be crazy to go from being unknown to being famous.
I never expected, you know. So the restaurant exploded. And we started doing many, many things. Quickly, we grow in our test area. And we transform it into something amazing. At the beginning of 2016, we opened in the another kitchen in the Universidad Católica, which is probably the most prestigious university in bioprocesses. We opened a lab, and we started to seeing everything, whatever we were doing, from very close to our eyes. And that's the point where we start seeing and learning and moving forward really, really quick. It was phenomenal.
Yeah. So talk a bit about the way your menu is designed and how you're doing it. Because first of all, your ingredients and the tomatoes was a big theme going right now. But your tomatoes were like not typical tomatoes. And you prepared them so many different ways. And everything was so delicious. And the experience is, it's interactive. You have all the chefs coming out, you're coming out, you're presenting dishes. I mean, I was tasting things that I'd never had before. And, you know, I've dined out quite a bit and I've done a lot of tasting menus, but it was very different in a beautiful way. And also, I realized also there was a lot of eat with your hands, which I love to do. But I mean, is that something you were doing from this period, or is this, how is the menu developed now over the past few years, or I'm sure it's always developing.
Yes. Well, Borrego, it's been conceived since the very beginning as an essay on the momentum of the Chilean terroir and about the truly and real deep exploration to the country itself through culture. So, in one hand, when we opened the restaurant, I figured that I couldn't afford the front of the house. So we had only two people. I said, like, well, no choice. We got to do it on our own. So since then, we started doing it. And when the restaurant exploded in 2013, we said, like, well, we feel great doing it. People love it. So let's keep doing it.
It's something really special about it. And I really, every time a cook came over to my table, when they were done presenting the dish and explaining it, I really wanted them to then sit down at the table with me and I wanted to hear their whole story. I was just so, I mean, your team is amazing and everyone is so knowledgeable and you could see their passion too about everything you're doing. So yeah, it's very special and I'm glad you're still doing that.
Thank you, thank you. And then all of this thing about the change, Borago always has to change, always has to move forward to feel different, because it's like us, you know, humans, we're alive, so food is also alive, and for me this is very relevant, because imagination and originality, we're very serious about these two words. I'm not gonna say creativity, because it's a word that I don't feel comfortable with. It's been on top of the table so many times that I feel more appeal to imagination and originality. That's the restaurant that we've been focused since the very beginning. Perhaps the understanding and the knowledge and that fact of moving backwards to move in order to move forward is to understand where you're coming from. Three things: where you're coming from, where you get around, and who you are. So in that sense, we started to learn about the cooking methods, which is, for me, cooking method is something totally different to a technique. Because sometimes we get confused, you know? Technique, cooking methods, elaborations are totally three totally different things for me. Technique is something more probably related to a professional cook itself. It's something that I could do because I'm a professional cook and probably my mother couldn't do at home. Elaboration, you don't need to be a professional cook to do it, and probably it's more related to your culture because it's been done for generations probably. And cooking method belongs also to a culture for such a long time. And sometimes you don't have to be a professional cook to execute. And
yeah,
so,
that makes sense, I guess.
So we started to learn about those cooking methods, or those elaborations, or those ways of serving the food. So we started, I can't remember, we started serving our food in a way in 2007, and slowly we start saying, like, no, we cannot be I don't know, Northern Hemisphere technique or European technique on Chilean native ingredients. Has to be Chilean approach. Has to be touch with the hands. Because it's the way we eat, the way our ancestors were eating. So we have to move forward. That's all. Through imagination, through originality, through whatever we wanted to achieve. But slowly we start doing it, and we feel great. And also it's more agile for the menu, you know. In our case, it's not that we're serving tasting menu. It's not that we feel like, oh, we shouldn't do a la carte. I think and I feel that, because at the beginning we had a la carte, is that wouldn't be fair if you're coming from far to not to like you to try these beautiful treasures we're having during the season. Perhaps it's a tasting menu. It has to be very, very based on rhythm, you know? About you. It's not about us, because we, at the end of the day, we're not cooking for us. We're cooking for people. So we're trying to be delicious on top of anything, of course. But yeah, so it has to be about the rhythm. It has to be seasonal, because chili is extremely seasonal.
Yeah, well, you certainly have mastered all of that, and I love eating with your hands. I mean, I think food tastes better that way. I don't know if it's psychological or something, but I really do. And I guess the interactive experience, it also makes it for the guest. I mean, a lot of the dishes, I had to be told what was edible on the plate.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, because there were more familiar ingredients like tomatoes, and I loved your lobster dish. I mean, phenomenal in that presentation. But then there was seaweeds and just flowers and things that I don't eat every day or ever. But it all, you got the deliciousness and you got the imagination, I don't know, beyond creativity, using beyond the imagination and originality. Yeah, it's really quite special. Going back, I just question the name Barago. Is there a story behind that? I bet there is
a story behind that. There is a story behind that, but I never told that story to anyone till a few other interviews already.
Exclusive.
I was very lost. I was a lost kid probably. I didn't know what to do in my life to be honest before get my path in the culinary world. So I just wanted to make sure that every morning when I see that name, I wouldn't forget what I was ready to do. So Brago, with the accent, it means nothing. It's an invented word. But in my mind, it was something for me, actually. The accent, it in Spanish, it changes. Absolutely changes the meaning of the word. And so, as the human dust in the soil, through the ingredient, so let's say you grab a seaweed, you taste it, you say like, oh, I'm not gonna eat this, it's the grossest thing I've ever had. And I don't like the texture, the flavor, not even the aroma. But humans, we have the ability to change that reality. Through time, through knowledge, through culture, through whatever you want. But time is part of that equation always. And so the accent is to the words as the human to the soil.
I didn't know you were going to go so deep on that, but that's wonderful. Great story. Love it.
So it's like the meaning of cooking at the end.
So... I have two questions. One, like, so what's next for you? Keep going with Barago.
Yeah.
Change this menu I had last night is going to change into a new season soon.
Yeah. Well, we first of anything, we at the beginning of 2019, we moved the restaurant to the house that we are at, and we. We start a new project, which is our research center. And that research center opened us a whole new world. Because it was so obvious. We discovered so many things. We said like, okay, the restaurant has different needs, you know, because it has four walls. It's like any other restaurant at the end of the day. You have to pay salaries. The restaurant ideally has to be fully booked in our minds. So we're going to try to push it towards that direction. Still, Chile is very far away from everyone. It's not Peru, you know? So back in the days, you were trying to Peru, to Mexico, to Argentina to eat. But Chile, no. You were trying for other things, to doing snow skiing, I don't know, to Patagonia, to the deserts, Easter Island, whatever, but never to eat.
Well, you're definitely making this, I mean... It is a culinary destination. It was for me. I mean, I had to come here to come to your restaurant. But before you continue on, are your guests like locals then, or do you have people now, right now, like present day or this year, coming in from all around the world?
We have a huge amount of locals.
That's nice.
We reached 80% of locals.
That says a lot.
That's quite a lot for a guest.
Yeah.
Because Barago's not that expensive as a restaurant. It could be twice as no problem.
Yeah, wouldn't for affect what you're offering, especially. It,
would not affect the reservations, I'm pretty sure. But this thing allows the Chileans to, you know, to plan and to come to celebrate. They're coming from every city, you know. They're coming from Patagonia, from the south, from the center, from the coast, from up north to celebrate. That's magical to us, you know. It's really, really important. And that's the way we wanted to keep it. So, yeah. And so, again, we moved the restaurant. We discovered this many things. We said, like, but, you know, knowledge is something that cannot have a rooftop. I have to keep going and going and going and going. So we decided to create this researching center. We moved whatever we had in the university into the restaurant, in an area of the restaurant. And so we set three different areas. So test area, all the processes, and reception area. And so we have a big team.
How big is your team? I was trying to count cooks last night because you have a wonderful open kitchen.
Now we are about 35 people in the kitchen only. Yeah.
That's a good size.
It's a good size for a 54 covers restaurant, you know?
Yeah, no, it was, it's not one for one per chef per customer, but
So we have it. Yeah. So anyways, we define four lines of work for Borago. So all of our food is based on these four lines. So first one is the seaweeds. We have more than 700 kinds of seaweeds in Chile. Well, we were using only four or five, maybe. And rock plants. So our rocky coast is fully covered by halophytes, or rock plants, as we call them. Natives were eating them. Most of them are 38% of protein. They're delicious, juicy. Probably the next solution for agriculture, because they can grow in very low amount of water. And they also can grow in high amounts of water. And so it's great. Tasty, huge amounts we have. Never use small fish such as Chilean anchovies, Chilean satins. And the fourth line is the fungi worlds. Not only the mushrooms that your eyes can see, but the ones that your eyes are unable to see. Many people think that Borago is about fermentation. Well, it's not. Borago is about the fungi world, which is different. It's very different. Yeah, of course, it involves all the processes such as fermentation, sure, but it's very, very related to the fungi world. If I make you drag a finger through it, certain native trees on top of the leaves, you taste, you say, like, no, I cannot believe it. This is the most delicious thing I ever had. And that's the reason, because our natives were so healthy and their food was so tasty because they knew their plants, you know, such an old culture, you know?
Yeah, it's amazing.
So, yeah.
What advice would you give to aspiring chefs? Now, you're a part of my upcoming ChefWise book, which is coming out soon, and I'm thrilled you are, and you're in several of the chapters. And I've obviously had a sneak peek, so I know some of your advice. But if one thing I know in there is hard work that you mentioned, that this all doesn't just happen overnight. And you, from your story, it's obvious it didn't happen overnight for you. But for young cooks, aspiring chefs, what's your advice?
I would say that one. Nothing in life, nothing almost good or too good happens from one day to the next. Sometimes you have to fight for what it moves you. And the most important thing is that humans, we all have these real forces in our interiors. And sometimes we get confused. This is the bad thing, because there's too much around us, you know, too much information, almost too much. And we're paying attention to all of that information that's around us. But those real forces that belong to us, our interiors, are the real ones that can make you move forward in life, make you fight for things that you love the most or feel attracted to the most, you know? And that would be my advice, you know? And going back to the question you did, what is the next step for you? Sometimes it takes longer than what you expect. We've been running Boragol for the last 16 years. And I'm gonna open the first two projects in Patagonia for first time ever. You know,
it took us, exciting.
Yeah, very excited.
Congratulations. Congratulations on all of this. I'm pretty much in awe.
yeah. So I'm excited. Yeah.
That's very exciting. I'm now, I'm coming to Patagonia.
Yes, you are.
Do you want to play my speed round game, which is...
Sure.
Which is fun. It's a part I do. It's okay. Just a little game I play.
I'll try to be quick.
Shows.
I'm always slow at this thing.
I'm like, good luck with the quickness here. Okay. Just know because... But yeah, okay. So this is going to be fun. Okay, so Perfect. Here we go. Eat in at home or eat out at a restaurant?
Oh, at home.
Indoor dining or al fresco dining?
Al fresco dining.
Wine, beer, mocktail, or champagne?
Oh, beer.
I wish people could see your face expressions. They're fabulous. Tasting menu or a la carte?
Tasting menu.
Small plates or large plates?
Small plates.
Communal table or chef's counter?
Chef's counter.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping.
Okay, a couple more. A tomato or a peach?
Oh, has to be a tomato.
I thought that was a tough one, too. Writing a cookbook or being a contributor to a book?
Writing a cookbook.
Yeah, your book. You have a book with Biden that came out, I think, 2017. So,
yes.
It's amazing. Right. We're part of the same family. Yeah. Okay, two more. Cheese plate or dessert?
Dessert.
Manhattan, Brooklyn, or Santiago?
Oh, come on. So hard. I have to say Santiago.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
I didn't make that
easy
on you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That was the game. You did go pretty fast there.
Okay. I'm impressed.
So before I'll ask you now to ask a question for the next guest of mine. I'm going to talk to Carolina Bazan, chef and owner of Ambrosia.
Yes.
And Ambrosia Bistro here in Santiago, who's also a contributor to my book. So what would you like to ask her? You could ask her something. I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
Which is her next move? Yeah.
Let's see, maybe she'll open a place in Patagonia with you.
Let's see. She's wonderful.
Cool, I'm so excited to meet her. So anything else? I mean, I'll just say, your hospitality, your generosity, like, I don't know. It's so special. And just listening to you and knowing more about your story, knowing what I knew before, like, it's incredible what you've achieved and your determination and it was like up and down and down and a little up and down. I mean, and you got through that and look where you are today. You're famous and well-deservedly so, and your food's incredible. So... congratulations. But I just feel, I don't know if there's a question in there, but I just feel so lucky to have met you and to have experienced your restaurant. I can't wait to see what you do next, because I know you're going to just keep going
thank
and do
you.
Beautiful things.
Thank you.
I mean, thank really, you so your much. Hospitality is blown me away and made me feel so special.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing those words. Means a lot. I think there's young people listening. I think life, it can be not easy in any sense, but if you focus on the momentum and just to produce great things for your surrounding, then things will follow you. That's what I believe.
Yeah. No, I can see it in your eyes. You do believe that. And yeah, congratulations and thank you.
Thank you.
This has been a true pleasure.
Thank you so much.
This episode is brought to you by Cheese State University. Cheese State University was created for dedicated cheese professionals seeking to deepen their knowledge, sharpen their skills, and build connections.
It feels like a gift to be able to give this gift to people because I know that from my own experiences, I know how valuable, consolidated, incredible training resources are.
They offer an in-depth education on all things cheese, as well as an active network for peer support and career development.
You can pop over to the Quad, which is our social networking and engagement app. And so that's a really fun and dynamic aspect of Cheese State University.
Cheese State's three-part course is designed for seasoned pros and entry-level mongers alike and covers all the skills one needs to perform on the cheese counter.
The structure of Cheese State University is all based on the Cheese State University Field Guide. And that is a three-volume resource. It's all digital, online.
At the end of the course, students will be ready to ace the field guide assessment and earn their Cheese State Scholar Certificate.
Another resource is a video series where we tackle sort of like these thornier questions that you can get on the cheese counter, like what is rennet and like why is this cheese so expensive and can pregnant people even eat cheese?
At Cheese State, you're among experts, you're amongst scholars, you're among cheese lovers, and most importantly, you are a monger. Join them in the Ivy League of Cheese Education at cheesestateuniversity.com.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and I hope you enjoyed my interview with Rodolfo Guzman, the chef and owner of Barrago in Santiago, Chile. He is one of 117 chefs who are featured in my new book, Chefwise, Life Lessons from Leading Chefs Around the World by Fiden. So it's time for my solo dining experience. This week, it's at Barrago. Yes, I felt like there was more to tell you about my experience dining at Rodolfo Guzman's restaurant. So here we go. Here's the rundown. The location. Avenue San Jose, Maria Escava del Balaguer, 5970, Metropolitan Region in Santiago, Chile. The concept. Beautiful Chilean produce transported from farm to fork. A haven for learning and discovery of native Chilean produce. The chef and owner, Rodolfo Guzman. Why did I go? Well, this place has been on my dining destination list for a long time. Rodolfo's in my Chefwise book, and I always wanted to meet him and experience his food. So my experience. So this all happened pretty fast. So a few weeks ahead, I made plans for this trip. I made a reservation directly through Rodolfo. He knew that I was coming, and he was very excited to have me, and I was so excited to go, and I had a little bit of a crazy journey getting to Santiago. My plane, I got rerouted through Sao Paulo is the long and short of it. That was not in the plan. So I arrived, I was a bit later than I thought when I got to Santiago, but I made it for dinner that evening, and Rodolfo was there with his team and so warmly greeted me, and I was so excited to be there. They sat me at a table that was facing the open kitchen on the side of the restaurant where I could see all the action, and it was a very interactive tasting menu experience. Many of the chefs come out from the kitchen and present dishes for you, including Rodolfo, and explain what the dish is and what you should eat on the plate. Sometimes it's very obvious and sometimes it's not. Beautiful presentations, very creative, very unique. Storytelling about the dishes, not in an overbearing way, all just super lovely. I wanted to chat more with everyone who came out to my table, as I said in my interview with Rodolfo. It was just a really, really lovely experience. So what did I get? So the menu is their Endemica summer menu. They are seasons, are the opposite of the U.S. And interestingly, Santiago is in the same time zone as New York City. Just a little fun fact there. So the menu is all very hyper local seasonal ingredients, and it's like edible art, I would say. They say online it's going to be about 12 to 17 courses, and it was definitely over 15 looking back at the menu. So I'll name a couple of the dishes, and I apologize for my pronunciation, but pink tomato was an ingredient that was used in multiple dishes, and there was a pink tomato from El Male, Chancho and Pedra, and wild apples from Patagonia. That was a dish. And then there was pink tomato poppies of rhubarb, Chilean truffle, and Granado beans with jasmine flowers. That was really cool. I love that dish. It was just like three flowers on wood sticks. It was all edible. It was just awesome. There was also a black oyster and pink tomato from El Maul. I love this dish that was lobster from Juan Fernandez Island cooked on a seaweed bladder. Yes, you heard that right. And the final savory course was Patagonia lamb cooked La Inverse, a year round a fig tree. And that was cooked. You could see it happening outside. There was a glass window on the side of the restaurant, glass wall. And they had a fire pit going, cooking that lamb that I saw throughout my meal. For dessert, some of the courses were semifreddo of rosé of the year of Atacama Desert. There was a pine mushroom, seaweed, and McKee wild fruit. And the finale of dessert was cold glacier, which was very fun. It was one of those dry ice type experiences where you take a bite and then smoke is coming out of your mouth and nose, if you follow that. And so then I also enjoyed this beautiful juice non-alcoholic pairing that they put together with me with the super fresh ingredients. And at the end of the meal, it was like a rainbow of glasses I had on my table with a little left in each one. And some of the drinks, there was citrus infusion with Copa Copa. There was pain watermelon juice and plum and Mache, I'm not sure how to pronounce that. There was a strawberry shrub and apple and seaweed juice. It was all really delicious and very nice to go with the meal, paired very nicely. So my take, well, kind of said it as I was going along, but I definitely loved it. The tasting menu is just really imaginative and different because it's different ingredients than I'm familiar with, using things that are local in Chile, and what Rodolfo and his team have become super educated about and passionate about. They obviously love what they're doing. I loved that there were many dishes that you eat with your hands. I love that there were a lot of tomatoes as well. It wasn't overdone. It's just really cool presentations and delicious and just, you know, fresh ingredients and just awesome. As I said, the lobster was a standout and the mushroom dessert. It was just a really, really wonderful tasting menu. So the ambiance. So it's a rectangular room. It's pretty minimalistic. There's a open kitchen at one end that has it's behind glass, but you can see the chefs in action, and the tables are pretty spread apart, leaving room between guests, and leaving room for the presentations that they make. Because as I said, the chefs do often come out or in the dining room and presenting dishes. So I'd say it's perfect for a special night out. Interesting tidbit: all the ingredients come from the coastlines, mountaintops, or even the restaurant's nearby orchard. Rodolfo told me his team goes out to the beach or the coast every week to source ingredients, which is really nice. Personal fun fact, I was lucky to get a personal tour by Rodolfo of Santiago during my visit. Very special. Thank you so much. I just pinching myself. Such a wonderful trip and experience. So the cost of this meal was, well, for me, it was comped. I was a guest of the chef, So just wanted to share that with you. The regular cost is 143,000 Chilean peso, or $180 in US, approximately. If you do the wine pairing, it would be about 100 US, and the juice pairing is about $50 US. Would I go back? Yes, you bet. Website, barago.cl, and Instagram is at baragoscl. And that's the show. Thank you so much to Rodolfo Guzman and his team. I don't know if I said it enough. I don't think I did. Maybe I did, but I'm going to say it again. The hospitality that I received was just beyond any expectations and so warm and welcoming and made me feel amazing. And the travel was nothing to get there. nothing, because it was just so worth it. And on Rodolfo's team, Pedro helped me out a lot in communications, and Rodolfo himself really took a lot of time. So thank you so much. It was extraordinary, and I can't wait to come back. So my guest has been Rodolfo Guzman of Barago. As I said, his website is barago.cl, and on Instagram, he's at rgbarago and at baragoscl. My next show coming up is my interview with Carolina Bazan of Ambrosia and Ambrosia Bistro, also in Santiago, Chile. She is amazing. I love sitting down and talking with her, so stay tuned for that. My book, Chefwise, it's now out. Chefwise Life Lessons from Leading Chefs Around the World by Fiden. You can get it wherever books are sold. I hope you check it out, and I hope you love it as much as I do and as much as I did putting it together. You can follow me at Sherry Bayer at Bayer PR and at All Industry. My Facebook page is All in the Industry. My websites are BayerPublicRelations.com, SherryBayer.com, and AllInTheIndustry.com. All of our shows are archived at heritageradionetwork.org. We are also in iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. Thanks to my engineer today, Armin. I'm your host and producer and author, Sherry Bayer. I'll be back next week with a new show. Hope you'll tune in then. And thank you, as always, for being part of All in the Industry. Bye. All in the Industry is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.